consider things from it. Our scripture for tonight comes from Matthew in the 6th chapter, verses 1 through 6. Beware of practicing your piety before others in order to be seen by them, for then you have no reward from your Father in heaven. So whenever you give alms, do not sound a trumpet before you, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the seats, so that they may be praised by others. I tell you, they have received their reward, but when you have given alms, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your alms may be done in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you. And whenever you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to stand and pray in the synagogues and on the street corners, so that they may be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward. But whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this, His holy word. We live in a busy world. In the 21st century, many have come to believe, whether they know it or not, that being busy is required of us, and ultimately, what makes us a good person? But perhaps we have forgotten that God isn't looking for humans to perform as if we must earn God's love or anyone else's love through succumbing to a faster pace for more productivity in order to be worthy. How many of us, when we get up in the morning, we have to rush into the shower, get all cleaned up? Gentlemen, those of you that shave, you have to shave so you look your best. And then you either have to rush to get your breakfast, or you stop at McDonald's or Bojangles along the way to pick up your breakfast, and you're eating while you're driving, and you're thinking about all of the things that you have to do at work. And then you get to work, and then you sit down, and I've got to be busy. I got to get stuff done. Oh, it's lunchtime. Okay, I'll take 5 minutes to eat because I've got so much to do. And then at the end of the day, you rush to your car and you rush home. And there, I got to be busy. I got to get stuff done. I got to pay the bills. I got to do this. I got to do that. Oh my gosh, it's time to go to bed. Got to go to bed. And we get up the next day and we do it all over again. So we have cram-packed our days together, including our weekends, with stuff that we need to do. And what's the problem with that? That's good. We've got to put food on the table. We have to pay the mortgage, pay for gas, maybe have enough over to get a dozen eggs when we go to the store over the weekend. But we're so busy. We're so busy because we've crammed so much into our lives that to a certain extent we have forgotten what really is important. Got to be busy. And so busy that if we're lucky, we might be able to squeeze a couple minutes in, maybe 30 seconds for a prayer on the way to work, thanking God for all that we have. Those of you that are familiar with the VeggieTales series might have seen the story of Fibber O'Lou. Anybody other than Holly and I seen the story of Fibber O'Lou? It's a retelling of the Good Samaritan story. And one of the characters is stuck in a hole upside down, and along comes the mayor of one of the cities. And he's asked, "Can you help me out?" And instead of helping out, he sings a song. "I'm busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've have no idea what I have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy, much, much too busy for you." Along about the time that he has finished singing, there is a doctor that comes along, and the mayor's a male asparagus, and the doctor's a female asparagus. And again, the cry goes out, "Can you help me get out of this hole?" And again, instead of helping out, the mayor and the doctor break into song again. "We're busy, busy, dreadfully busy. You've no idea what we have to do. Busy, busy, shockingly busy, much, much too busy for you." And then they go on. "'Cause we're busy, busy, frightfully busy, more than a bumblebee, more than an ant. Busy, busy, horribly busy, we'd love to help, but we can't." Yeah, they're busy. They filled their lives up. Instead of helping out, they're singing songs. Now, you'd think that they would be able to take a little bit of room, not to sing, but to help out. I think, what's the cucumber's name? I forget. Is it Larry? Larry, instead of helping Larry the cucumber, who's upside down in a hole, instead of taking a little bit of time, they're singing. They're busy doing all of this other stuff. And sometimes that's like us. We have so much in our day that if someone needs our help, if one of our friends, either in our personal life or our professional lives, need help, "I'm sorry, I really don't have time to talk. I really don't have time to talk. Well, it would only take a minute. I'm sorry, I'm too busy. I'm busy, busy." Now, I'm not saying that there are not activities that we do need to take and focus on. It is important to do your job well in order to get your salary, in order to survive. But when we jam-pack our lives so full together of stuff, that there are certain consequences that come from that. I want to talk about seven. The first consequence is that a hurried life destroys your relationship with God. If you have a jam-filled life and all that you have is 30 seconds in the morning and 30 seconds before you go to sleep to pray to God, you're not going to have a very good relationship. A hurried life changes your focus and it feeds approval addiction. You're doing so much work. Oh, I have to make sure I'm getting praised for this. Am I doing it right, boss? Am I okay? Wife, am I okay? Am I okay? I need that approval. I need to know that I am doing well. Number three, a hurried life decreases your capacity to love others. You're so busy doing other stuff that you can't take and you can't focus on your spouse, on your children, on your family members, on your friends. And a hurried life increases the power of temptation. You're so used to doing things, being busy, doing stuff, that all that you want is instant gratification. Even in our spiritual lives, we want that instant gratification. Oh, well, let me look up my verse for the day and read it. Okay, good. I'm good. I have instant gratification. I need a distraction. Let me get on the internet. The problem with that is virtues, the things in life that are important, they take time to grow and they take time to tend. Number five, a hurried life numbs you to injustices that break God's heart. You have no time to consider what's going on in the outside world and what's happening. You don't have time for that person on the street, homeless, hungry, just looking for a couple of bucks to buy food. You don't have time to notice one of your coworkers struggling, either professionally or on a personal level. You have no time to think about your family, to think about what's going on in the world, because you're just so busy trying to get stuff done. A hurried life increases our narrow-mindedness and legalism. This is number six. If you're so busy and you don't have time to take and actually understand what God says in His Scripture, understand what it is that He wants us to do, you're sharply focused, you're narrow-minded, and all you care about are the spiritual buzzwords so that you can be legally right. And finally, number seven, a hurried life clouds our purpose and diminishes our passion. In a hurried culture, one's life's purpose is determined by what you do, not what you are becoming. We talk about this sometimes in Christianity, about this thing called becoming what God wants you to be, what He wants you to be at this moment, and what He wants you to become in the future. You can do good things for God, but these good things do not come because of your relationship with God. It's what you think God wants you to do. Discovering your purpose in life is a lot like looking for a two-legged unicorn. It takes some time, and it takes some patience. So the question that we need to ask ourselves is, are love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, are they increasing in your heart on a daily basis? How's your integrity? How is your reliability? How trustworthy on you? And do you know, and do the people who know you most respect you greatly? A hurried life looks externally for answers for life's big questions, but a life at God's pace looks inwardly for these answers. And this is a process that can't not be hurried. It needs to be tended. So, how can we be simply and honestly present at this moment, at every moment during this Lenten season? Well, we can begin by repenting, which means turning around from these unrealistic expectations and false beliefs that we have come to value in our hurried society. This is Ash Wednesday, and part of Ash Wednesday is to remind ourselves that we were made from the dust of the earth, and we will return to the dust of the earth. And truthfully, there's not much time in between. So we need to take, and we need to use that time wisely. We need to stop being so hurried. We need to slow down. We need to clean out our lives a little bit to make room for that which is important. So I challenge us all this Lenten season to slow down and remember that we serve an unhurried God. Amen.